You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, 17 banners, way up in the rafters, J. King, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard. Focus like Danny at the deadline, global, but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time, I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly's, Rainy J's.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We want to thank you for making this part of your regular routine. And we're here for you after a Team USA beatdown of the Czech Republic, 88-67, fueled in large part by the four Boston Celtics, three of them more than Jaylen Brown. But the Boston Celtics, who were on the team, all did play some role in this, again, 88-67 win over the Czech Republic in the first game of the group stage in the FIBA World Cup tournament. We're going to talk about it. We're the Rainy Jays. I am John Corrales. I cover the team for MassLive.com. Joined by the kid, Jay King, who covers the team for The Athletic. Jay, first impressions here in the real game. This is actual real FIBA World Cup basketball. What's your first takeaway from this game?
Team USA was better than the Czech Republic. Thomas Satoransky is a basketball god of sorts, but he wasn't quite enough to beat a team that was filled with 12 guys that were better than the rest of his teammates.
Yeah, basically what it boils down to. Satoransky was good. He's a good player. Like, you tweeted out and I retweeted you. Like, I don't understand what the hell the Wizards were thinking, not playing him, barely playing him, unless it was an injury that got him into the lineup, and then letting him go to the Chicago Bulls. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but whatever.
I've never been prouder than I am leading off a podcast about the Celtics with Thomas Satoransky. This is the highlight of my entire career, maybe my life.
Oh, man. Well, he was good. And for a little while, it seemed like he was going to be good enough to keep the Czech Republic in it. But in the second quarter, Jason Tatum took over. So let's start with Jason. We'll do this like sort of by player. We'll focus on Tatum, then we'll get to Kemba, and then we'll do like Smart and Jaylen, and they'll just carry this through this entire podcast. So we'll start with Jason Tatum, who had the most spectacular stretch of play. I thought Kemba was good, but kind of
Donovan Mitchell had a hell of a stretch late in the game too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But don't sleep on Donovan.
No, I was talking about just the Celtics. I was just talking about the four Celtics. But yes, Donovan Mitchell had a good stretch. I think Chris Middleton, who we've talked about, had a kind of woke up a little bit in the fourth quarter. But of the Celtics, I think Jason Tatum had the most kind of condensed stretch of like great play. As I was saying, like Kemba was good, but kind of like consistently good throughout. Marcus Smart had a run. Again, we'll talk about that later. But Tatum's second quarter, which started with a transition three, and then the pass, the cross-court pass, finding Donovan Mitchell in the corner, the drive, baseline, a blocked shot, another three. Like, that stretch is what separated the game for the United States. I thought Jason Tatum kind of showed a complete domination of that stretch. He kind of did a little bit of everything, and most importantly, he did none of those bad things that we kind of get on him for when he's been doing that for the Celtics.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. I thought he and Smart both got blown by the Czech guards a couple times, which was weird. But I guess that's what happens. Team USA was pressuring up hard on all the guards, so sometimes that'll happen. Yeah, I thought he was really good. He went to the hole, showed off what I think definitely looks like increased strength and a little more muscle. Tatum's going to be on muscle watch for training camp.
Yes.
He's definitely going to be on muscle watch. His stats, overall stats, didn't look great. He had, what was it?
Well, I got it right here in front of me, so I'll read it.
10 points on something on 10 points on 4 for 11 shooting.
10 points, yep, 4 of 11 shooting, which doesn't look good.
Yeah, but he missed a few bunnies, like just layups that he'll normally make, and it came after good, strong, aggressive moves. Those aren't ones that you'll be mad about from an analysis standpoint.
Exactly, and he was 2 of 5 from 3, so 40% from there. No free throws, but, you know, that's...
But he made moves that will, over time, result in free throws, which I think is the more promising aspect of it. Like, he wasn't shying away from contact. He wasn't settling for mid-range jumpers. He had one really nice pass to Donovan Mitchell in the corner where he drove to the lane and found Mitchell in the opposite corner. Like, he's played a pretty polished game for the most part, even though I guess he's had a couple of stretches of inefficient offense, and including in today's game against the Czech Republic, but he's definitely gotten stronger. He's definitely going to the hoop, I think, with more authority. Either that or he's just playing like miniature Czech Republic dudes.
That I think has to be a caveat that has to be kind of put out there in all of this, that the Czech Republic is not a good basketball team. So some of this is definitely picking on smaller guys. However, it was in that stretch, in that second quarter, it was just brilliant. That's what he's supposed to do. Like, you're not supposed to toy with those lesser defenders. You're supposed to pick them apart and make them really pay the price.
Mutilate those Czech bastards.
That's right. And he did. And he did. Now, I will say, like,
I'm sorry to any Czechoslovakian listeners.
No, I didn't mean it. It wasn't personal. It was just
just a dumb joke. Just an awful joke.
He did, I think, in the third, fourth quarter, get a little bit, I think, kind of cute or a little too focused on his own thing. And I think that might have been because of the score. I think in the third quarter, like, the game was over. So I think he could just kind of like, all right, let me try to do this and try to do that. And it was more the kind of the stuff that we saw in the exhibition portion of the tournament or of the schedule. But after the first quarter, it was 17-14 USA, and the Czech Republic, I believe, had a lead at one point. So starting in the second quarter, there was some urgency there. So I think when we saw that focus is when Tatum, when he had that opportunity, took over. Two things in that stretch. That pass is to Mitchell in the corner, I think, is kind of an important thing that he's been able to spot. He's been making those passes in this past month. And one thing that we didn't see in his drives were the losing the ball thing. Like, how many times when he has been driving would he lose the ball? And maybe it's because of NBA defenders versus Czech defenders, but he, at least when he drove, took care of the ball, which I think is at least important.
They couldn't wait for it. Check him.
So bad, Jay. That was
the worst. I hate myself.
That was really, really bad. So Jason Tatum had a very nice stretch there in that second quarter. Kemba Walker was just kind of really good throughout. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and we'll talk about Kemba Walker's performance for Team USA when we return here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just 18 minutes for Kemba Walker, but in those 18 minutes, he scored 13 points on 6 of 8 shooting, Five of five inside the line, one of three from behind the arc. Four assists, which was a team high for Team USA. Plus 11 if you're into the plus minus things, which we all know Greg Popovich is very much not. A nice game for Kemba. I just feel like Kemba against these international guards so far has just been able to do whatever he wants. He's just him and Donovan Mitchell together in the backcourt. It's impossible to stop these guys. Kemba has been so just cool and fluid, and one of a few guys, very few guys throughout this entire month that has just kind of been in total control of his game the whole time. Everybody else seems to be trying to figure something out for the most part. Maybe not Donovan Mitchell, but Kemba has been in total control. He's playing his game. He's enjoying it. He's doing it with ease. It's just very fluid and confident.
Yeah, I think the rest of the team, like with the exception of Middleton and Lopez and the older guys, I guess, but a lot of the team is just like just young dudes.
Yeah.
And they're all, like you said, trying to figure it out, trying to still understand their games and learn how they can make an impact, and especially learn how they can make an impact on such a good team. And Kemba's a grown-up, and you can tell he's a grown-up on this team. Like, he's the guy that if they need a possession of just normalcy, like, yeah, you can rely on Kemba. He's been really efficient. He's picked his spots. He almost killed a man with a step back, which we should probably discuss quite a bit, because that poor Czechoslovakian.
That was, yeah, he kind of ruined him. He ended a life there with a step back. It was,
yeah, that was checkmate. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Really, Jay, I'm going to have to ban you from the show. You had, like, that's two strikes.
That was maybe even worse than the first one.
It might have been.
But yeah, for those who didn't watch the game, Kemba just stopped on a dime and hit a three while his defender was just falling to the ground, basically like spinning around 8 feet away. He created probably at least 8 feet of separation. It was really, really impressive. But he's just much quicker than any guard they're going to face in the tournament.
Yeah,
it's not even close. And like you said, with him and Mitchell, I think that's the strength of this Team USA, is that, like, yes, they have long wings and talented wings and Jason Tatum and Chris Middleton and Jaylen Brown and Joe Harris, different things. But the real strength and what separates them is that they have two guys who can get into the teeth of any defense and are way, way, way quicker than anybody they face. But Kemba, beyond just being quick and more athletic than a lot of guys he's going to play against, he's just played with a polish, layer of polish, yeah, to him. And obviously the Celtics are going to need that. And I think, you know, when you look at the way the other guys are fitting in on this team, it's like Tatum's one of the top scorers. Smart is just kind of sets the table and does smart things defensively. And Jaylen is just kind of a jack of all trades right now, just trying to fit in where he can get it. And Kemba is the center of it all, and I think that's kind of how it should be with the Celtics once they start play. So in some ways, the hierarchy might already be starting to take shape for the actual Celtics,
mm-hmm,
which would be, I think, nice for Brad Stevens, because last year the hierarchy never really happened, as it should have. And maybe over in China, you know, Team USA, the Team USA Celtics are starting to get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because we are starting to see all of that kind of pan out. The way they're playing is kind of how we would hope they would play for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown might have something to say about that, but everyone else, I think, is really...
And Gordon Hayward, like, he's going to be a big piece.
Of course.
And he's obviously not over there, obviously.
Right. I think the Kemba's professionalism, his professional demeanor, his professional play, like, he's just out there just doing his thing, and there's nothing else that we can say about, like, he's just playing his game. In the beginning, in the first quarter, it was Kemba, Tatum, and I think maybe Jaylen Brown scored buckets. It was like Celtics 7, 7-2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Kemba left the floor and things kind of fell apart for Team USA. And it wasn't until they figured out how to play the zone. Like, they couldn't attack the zone. If you didn't see the game, Team USA had a real problem with the Czech Republic playing a 2-3 zone. And they just decided to take a bunch of jumpers. And it wasn't until they started actually attacking the seams. And I think they just need a little time to settle down. Once they started attacking that 2-3 zone, then the whole thing was all over. But Kemba kind of carried them, even with those problems. Kemba was just like, yeah, I got this. No problem. And it wasn't until he left that you could see kind of some issues with Team USA trying to figure things out. Ultimately, obviously, they did. But Kemba, that's going to be, I think, how this goes throughout the entire tournament. That Kemba's leadership, Kemba's a stabilizing force. I think his ability to go out there and play his game is going to be a big, big deal. And I was talking about this with David Locke. We did a post-game show that streamed. Contrast that to somebody like Chris Middleton, who's really, really struggled because he's not playing in this tournament the same way that he played in Milwaukee. They're not using him the same way, and he's kind of struggling a little bit. So Kemba's the one guy here that is completely playing the exact same way he would play in the NBA. So that's really going to be a big deal for Team USA. The other thing I want to note about Kemba is that I thought he played pretty well defensively. They had a part of their strategy was to try to switch bigger guys onto him when the U.S. was switching on defense. And he drew a foul in when he got posted up by a big the first time. That same guy tried to post them up, and Kemba defended it pretty well, actually forced a turnover. I thought that was encouraging. I think Kemba Walker's defense has been pretty encouraging during this tournament or during this whole Team USA experience.
Yeah, did you read Satoransky's quotes in Joe Varden's piece?
No.
I'm shamelessly plugging The Athletic, but
sure.
They were really funny because one of them, he said, like, yeah, I'm not used to getting pressured like that in an NBA game. Like, that's just not normal. It's probably because, like you said, guys were just in different roles. They have more energy to expend defensively. They're not playing as many minutes. They can really get after it. And then his other quote was like, yeah, we're just not as good as Australia.
Oh.
which was hilarious and true. But I think Kemba's part of that. Like, he's one of those guards really getting up into guys. But it's Mitchell, too, and it's Smart, and it's Jalen, and it's Tatum, mm-hmm. and a lot of guys. They have a lot of guys who can really get into guys, and especially with the limited minutes and limited touches. They can really, really just decide to get after it. One thing we should talk about, Tatum and Kemba both started.
Yes.
And Tatum, I think, I don't know whether that was up in the air, but he wasn't starting during all of the exhibition games. So
he started a couple, I thought.
He started a couple, but he didn't start all of them. So that, I don't know what it means, but after training camp and several exhibitions, Jason Tatum was named a starter over Chris Middleton and several other very good NBA players. And then Smart and Jalen were the first two off the bench. So we should at least note that. I have no idea what it means. I don't think it matters much, but just noteworthy.
Sure. Sure. And we had one stretch where it was Smart, Brown, and Tatum together on the floor, which was interesting. I don't know if we're going to get the all four Celtics lineup. I haven't seen that yet, but who knows?
They got to bust it out against Japan or something, right?
You'd like to think so, right? Like, Turkey and Japan are not good teams.
Who cares?
So, no, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not good teams, so.
I don't know, man. Jetty Osman may just destroy some mofos.
I mean, okay. Sure. I mean, he's good. He's a good player. I mean, he's no Thomas Satoransky, but who knows? just a final thing when it comes to, like, Kemba and the defense. You talk about, first of all, we've said this before, 10-minute quarters, not 12. So it's a 40-minute game, not 48. And with such depth and playing a team as bad as the Czech Republic, Kemba played 18 minutes. The only two guys that played more than 20 minutes were Smart, who played 21. Donovan Mitchell played 25. Everybody else played less than 20 minutes. So
it was classic Marcus Smart, wasn't it? Like, doesn't start, comes off the bench, still gets as many minutes as anyone on Team USA. Like, it doesn't matter. He's just going to soak up minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to be the coach's favorite.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Well, while also driving a coach insane with occasionally bonkers decisions.
I thought his decision-making was good, though. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Take a break. More Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown talk after this on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Mentioned Marcus Smart before the break. His numbers in 21 minutes, just a little bit of everything. Just 4 points, which not a shock. 0 of 1 from three. He was surprisingly 0 for 2 from the line. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a couple of turnovers, a couple of fouls. What else? +4. No blocks, surprisingly. He almost had one insane putback dunk that was so close to going down, but just kind of fell out of his hands. But Marcus Smart, I think, kind of, I don't want to say struggled early on, but in the third quarter, he came in and was, I think, more patient, kind of let things develop. That's when he got to the rim a couple of times and finished a couple
broke
of baskets.
Broke off that sick hezzy on the baseline.
Yep. That was
just
like,
lost someone, yeah.
Yep. I mean, that was, I think, he might have been playing a little too fast. I think these guys in general are playing a little bit too fast. Timing's a little bit off. We saw guys bumping into each other. I saw Tatum bumping into Brooke Lopez a couple of times. Like, they're still, even after this month, a little discombobulated. They're not all there. So, but that third quarter, I think, was Smart's kind of really good quarter where he took control. That's where he had a couple of assists. That's where he got those baskets, like you said. So, and I think part of this is also a function of Marcus Smart missing so much time with that calf thing. So finally we saw him get settled. And I think that third quarter is important for Smart because it did take him so long to kind of get into the groove.
One kind of comical moment for me was when I think he was setting a screen and he kind of got run over. I wasn't sure whether he flopped or not, but he got knocked to the ground. And I was just wondering, like, what would happen if Smart had one of his epic, like, flare ups on Team USA?
Like going after Joel Embiid or?
Yeah, like if he just goes after some, like, random Japanese dude in a few days, or like just trucks some little Turkish guard. I don't know. Like, how does Popovich handle that? How does FIBA handle that? Obviously, we know, like, the NBA, they have their fines, they have their suspensions, but, like, what would happen in FIBA if Smart has one of his, like, occasional snappings?
That I have no idea how that would be handled. I assume there'd be a suspension for a game or something. I mean, I don't know. It depends on what he does.
Yeah, these are the things you think about when Team USA is just blowing out the Czech Republic.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, who was it that he really went after? What was the one?
He went after JR. He went after the dude on the Hawks.
That was the Hawks one after... I was thinking of. Yeah. I forget who it was.
DeAndre Bembry.
Yes. Yeah, that one was it. If he did that, he might get booted for a game or two.
what would happen if that?
If it was the Embiid thing where he just pushed a guy, I don't know. I don't know what the line is for FIBA for that, but I think if he did the Bembry thing, because he was really hot in that one, then, and he was hot in the against J.R. Smith too. If it was either one of those type of things where he needed to be tackled. Like, I remember Jason Tatum tackling him.
Jason Tatum's always there. Yeah. He and Terry Rozier were always there, but Rozier's not going to be there. Tatum's going to have to be on the floor when Smart snaps.
Right. It's going to take, like, something completely crazy. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be something. It would be something.
It would.
It would be, and that would be damaging to the team. They need him. Defensively, Team USA has so far to go defensively. Even on those possessions where Marcus Smart was defending well, I remember one where it ended up in a Satoransky dunk, but he'd picked up Satoransky, I think, three-quarter court or half court, and was defending him well, but then he got blasted with a pick, and there was no help whatsoever. Satoransky turned the corner after the pick and just went in for a dunk. So I think he's going to need, Smart is going to need some help, especially in FIBA. I don't know. It's going to be difficult to watch him go and defend guys. And if he keeps getting wrecked with picks, then I start to worry about his safety out there, because some big dudes that he's going to be going up against.
Nobody bigger than he is.
Well, no. But still, I mean, it only takes one good pick on the point of that shoulder to pop that thing. And I just don't want to see it. So they need to really step up their pick and roll defense and kind of help him out a little bit. Jaylen Brown, since we're, you know, talking about our Celtics, we haven't mentioned much of Jaylen Brown. Didn't do a ton. I thought he had some good situational performances. In that second quarter, there were a couple of good moves. He made a good cut to help tear that zone apart. I think Jaylen Brown's going to have like these games like this where he's kind of floating along. He's doing little things here and there. And then all of a sudden he pops off for like an 18-point game.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think his role on Team USA seems sort of similar to what his role was on the Celtics last year, where they just want him to defend and bring energy. And if he scores and gets opportunities, then cool. Like, awesome. He had one really explosive drive and finish. And he had a couple drive and kicks, which were pretty patient, especially for normal Jaylen Brown standards. So I thought he played okay. It wasn't like he was bad at all. He played fine. He had one kind of chase down block after he got beat a little bit. So he played well. It was just he didn't get many scoring opportunities. I think, like you said, sometimes that'll happen. I think Mitchell and Kemba are the two lead guards. Obviously, I think Tatum will probably get the most shot attempts outside of those two guys. And then everybody else, it'll just kind of depend on the night.
Yeah, well, Tatum and Donovan Mitchell both took 11 shots. Those were tied for the team lead. So that kind of falls in line with what you're saying. So, all right, well, that was one game against the Czech Republic. The next game is against Turkey. It's Tuesday morning, 8:30 Eastern time. So if you're in a different time zone, adjust from there. 8:30 Eastern time in Boston. So watch before work or at work. Get to work early and pop it on there and watch there. I think you can only watch it on ESPN Plus. Which, by the way, like, I think that's a little bit bullshit. Just to put it behind a paywall. Like, why can't just everybody watch Team USA? Why can't you just put the national team on ESPN or ESPN2 or NBA TV?
Like, I support paywalls for good content, man. I gotta say, I'm on that side of the argument. I also found out recently that I am an ESPN Plus subscriber with the same account I've had on Insider for like 20 years, and I don't even know if I pay for it anymore. I think I pay for it and it just automatically comes out of my bank account every year, but I'm not 100% sure I still pay for it.
Well, when you're making that J. King money, it's so easy to know. Like, who knows what's coming out of that account? You just don't even have to pay attention to the dollars and cents.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's exactly how you would put it.
Well, I would just like to see it on free TV. And I know it's only $5.
Yeah, I think it's stupid. Like, it's Team USA. Like, what the hell are they showing on ESPN News that they can't put the freaking game on? Come on.
Right, right. That's all. It's Team USA. Put them on free TV, for God's sake. Or yeah. It's not even free TV. We're already paying for, like, I'm already paying for YouTube TV. And ESPN's already getting money off of that.
Just they had Syracuse freaking Liberty football on the other day, and you can't put on Team USA?
Yeah, no. I don't like that at all. So, but for now, it's on ESPN Plus. So it's $5, I think. Maybe there's a week trial. If you check it out, there might be like a 7-day trial where if you cancel within 7 days, you don't have to pay for it. So maybe you get around it that way. And maybe in the knockout rounds, it's going to be on free TV. I don't know. But if you can swing it, it's $5. If you can't, then we'll have you covered here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So go ahead and give us that subscription. Subscribe to us. It's free. We're free. All you have to do is give us a good rating, a 5-star rating, and a good review. That's the only form of payment we ask for. And also sharing the podcast and spreading the word, telling everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Rainy days.